Well, hello, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, monkeys and squirrels. Welcome to another episode of Uncomfortable. And if you're wondering why I have come at you with such hilarity and silliness, that is because the title of tonight is Humor and Does It Have a Place in the Church? I am joined, as usual, by my buddy Kirk.
Hello.
And we have a special guest. Name Mr. Toby.
Hi, Vince. Hi, Kirk.
That's the name he gets tonight, Mr. Toby.
Toby, so glad to have you. You know, some of you may know that Toby and I have recorded some lives and some other podcasting in the past. It's so great to have him back with us tonight. And it's kind of fun to have a lighthearted topic to discuss tonight, such as, does humor have any place in the body of Christ? Now, Vince, you and I are Bible school. Okay, for those of you who are wondering why I just burst out in laughter, we use video to kind of work with us, to kind of know kind of what's going on.
Different locations.
And Vince just clipped on his mic to his beard, which is just visually was just absolutely hilarious. So just so that you have a visual picture of why I think it's so funny. Anyway, you know, Vince, you and I are both Bible school students.
Yes, we are.
And as part of that, we know that in the Word of God, there's types and shadows throughout the gospel. And at the same time, if we look at life itself, we can see that there's many types and shadows in our very life that we live every day that gives us almost a prophetic view of the gospel. Now, that's a very serious topic, but also, if you think about it, there's a lot of really funny things that we do as humans that you wonder, well, Lord, why did you make us pass gas in a way that's so loud? You know, why is it that women pretend like they don't pass gas? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy thoughts out there. That's just what it is. Now, so, Vince.
I'm letting you float out there on your own. Go for it.
What have I gotten into?
Sorry, Toby.
Oh, my goodness. You know, but, you know, this is just a topic that's just fully loaded and ready to explode. And we have several
and
Christian
that's what
comedians.
You go with after talking about
oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I was not even thinking about that.
Wow.
Cut, take two.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry,
my.
Toby.
Oh, my. Oh, you guys are so.
That up. Thank you guys for allowing me to join today. This is not the usual podcast that I join, but I'm having a good time.
Yeah, this is definitely not the normal
one. Does laughter have or does
well, you know, okay, let's
segue.
I don't know where you were
yes.
going with that, Kirk, but
let's segue over to what does the Word of God say about laughter?
Well, I mean, the most obvious one that we all know about is laughter does good like a medicine.
Absolutely.
You know, and also we could also refer to the joy of the Lord as our strength. And with that, just to bring the difference in, joy does not mean happiness. Joy is a choice, the same way that love is a choice.
Joy you doesn't mean happiness, really?
It does not. Because you can be happy for a moment, but joy is something that is internal and it exists beyond that. You choose that on the daily, on the regular.
Uh-oh.
So, and it's something that, like, joy is something that gets buried so deep into you that even when you're going through hellacious circumstances, you have the ability to come out of that. You have the ability to listen to something funny and enjoy it, to crack up, have a good time, even smile when some of the worst stuff hits you in life. So, Kirk, you're very well aware, and Toby, you're probably not aware of this, but in the last 3 or 4 years, I've had like 9 people die in our family. So, and I'm not bringing it down. I promise you, we're not bringing this down. But so, what we've had to find though is that humor has helped us to cope sometimes. Now, unfortunately, we have gone over to some dark humor on occasions. And I'll share this with everybody out there just so you know that it's okay to cross some lines that you normally would not cross when it comes to being humorous when in certain perspectives, like inside of your family. You may have inside jokes and things like that that you can do that might not be okay in public. I would not advise telling some things as jokes that are inside jokes that work for your family from the pulpit if you're preaching. Your family wouldn't appreciate that.
You may not want to do it at work too. I can think of some jokes that could become HR issues. So public service announcement, even though you're using joy like a medicine, you know, and it may be biblical, don't do certain things at work. You don't need to be taken to your HR department.
Yeah, especially nowadays, they get
cray-cray.
That everybody thinks is funny. They get that one person that's like, you got fired.
Yeah, so I think you bring up a really good point about joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And you think about the fruit is an offshoot of what the roots are pulling in and what's in the core. So, you know, you mentioned a lot of, tragedy in your life. We've all got times that we've gone through some really tough stuff. And, when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, that joy can come out. It doesn't mean you have to be smiling all the time, right? It's okay to be sad. But, you know, joy, and I think there's an evangelistic piece to this as well. I don't know if you guys have talked about the really popular crowdfunded show, The Chosen, and understand it's loosely based on the Bible. But the thing I like about the portrayal of that is it shows Jesus interacting with his personal friends, his disciples, in a really human way. And I think about my life, guys, like up till probably almost age 40, I was a really, Kirk knows, a really serious person. And
like so serious.
This is a Bible thing, so I pulled the stick out of my ear. I'll say that.
We just don't use
a rear. But I decided I didn't want to live my life that way anymore. So comedy or laughing or being joyful, it's really increased my sphere of influence to a lot of people who really aren't believers. And some of them are my closest friends.
Yeah. You know, I think you hit on something really good, Toby. And that's the fact that people like being around joyful people. They like being around genuine people, too. And so when you're going through something and you can still walk around and have that joy, it does make them curious. It does make them go, how are you able to do this? Really? Let me tell you. Let me tell you my story. Or, you know, one of my favorite people to listen to, Christian comedians, is probably a guy by the name of Michael Jr. I don't know if you have heard of him or not. But he
heard the name,
is
hilarious. But I don't know him.
He did a special over at Gateway Church here in the DFW area. Mm-hmm. And in that, one of the things he talked about is living your life with joy and humor and all that. And so he's talking about some things where outside of being on stage performing, where you can use comedy and you can use humor as a way to continually present the gospel and share the love of God with people without being what everybody expects you to stand up on a shoebox and start yelling and screaming, you're all going to hell. And if, you know, and basically the way he kind of broke it down, I thought it was a really neat thing because I pictured instead of somebody getting up saying you're all going to hell, they get up and they do that, but they do it from a comedic standpoint, not from the bullhorn, like angry preacher, but have some comedian get up and say, you're all going to hell tomorrow at 3:52. And, you know, grab people's attention and just start saying random stupidity and And people start going, wait, what is this dude talking about?
You know, I know we're talking about humor in the church, but, you know, here's another thing that I've been kind of thinking about lately is, could it not be that there's many times in our life that we need to use other mediums besides the normal Christian ease or Christian normal ways of conveying the Christian truth? Now, what do I mean by that? You know, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, they both wrote very good books that are fantasy. C.S. Lewis wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and the entire Narnia series, right? Tolkien wrote, you know, The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. Both are lined with Christian themes. And they convey the message that there's more to this life than just, you know, what we can see in front of us. You know, C.S. Lewis has a very vivid picture of Christ being crucified through Aslan, right? But how is it that so many times we don't even look at other methods to reach the world, but we try to take things from such a serious point of view that where we may miss the opportunity to bring healing to someone through laughter or humor or something else, or even being able to just to help them to let their guard down so they'll actually have a conversation with you about something that's really serious, such as their eternal soul.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah, I think it's, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I think even with teaching, when I start the semester, I tell or warn my class that I would use different ways to communicate with them, and one of the things that I use is humor, because if we're talking about a subject or a topic that you would normally have your guard up for, humor has a way of getting around that wall, and you can deposit, if you put those nuggets of truth inside that vehicle of humor, you can get those things deposited behind the line, so to speak, where a lot of times it's someone who's just orating is not able to do. And not to say that what they're saying isn't true, and the truth, the absolute truth of the gospel, can pierce through anything. But I believe that sometimes God gives us the capability and the wisdom to use different modes and methods. I mean, the truth is the truth, regardless of whether we like it or not, believe it or not, or know it or not. But it's, I think sometimes he gives us different modes and means of transportation to carry the truth in so that it can be deposited to whom it needs to be deposited to in such a way that they'll receive it.
Yeah,
I don't know if that made sense.
No, it totally makes sense to me, Vince. And I think about something you were sharing earlier, you know, with your, you know, inside the confines of your family, and then what you were just speaking about just now with your students. Paul encourages us to be all things to all people. Mm. He also discourages us from being a stumbling block. So I'll just open this up for conversation, and I don't know where it's going to go, but
that's okay. The more uncomfortable, the better. I mean,
is there a difference in a one-on-one conversation with somebody that you have a relationship with versus a whole room of people versus the confines of a family, even as it relates to humor? You mentioned a wonderful Christian comedian, and I've enjoyed some Christian comedians over the year, but they're very different than you know, Eddie Murphy's 1980s, you know, stand up for an example.
You went to the harshest one.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, some of us were raised in the 80s, so we were exposed to that. But how does being all things to all people relating to humor, like, how does that open doors, and how can that, you know, where are the lines on that? That's uncomfortable, right?
Well, I think a lot of times we have to look at the fact that, I mean, Christ addresses it almost as easily as you look at, like, drinking alcohol, for example. The word says, don't do it in excess, one. And then if you do it in front of your brother and it causes him to sin, it's if, you know, you're guilty of leading him into that sin. Well, if you are overly participating in freedoms that you have, where you're leading someone into a path that's going to cause them to fall into unrighteousness, into sin, I think that's a line you don't want to cross into. Now, do I believe that taking them to hear a comedian to help them lighten up and, you know, unwind and possibly even have some laughter that could lead to some inner healing is wrong? No, I don't. maybe they might need to be careful which one they go to. They don't probably need to go to Eddie Murphy or one of these extremely crude comedians, but there's a lot of really good comedians out there, Christian comedians and some non-Christian comedians, that they have a pretty good show that they put on, right?
Yeah, they weren't clean.
Yeah, they're clean or pretty clean. And so you can enjoy yourself, begin to laugh, maybe even find some healing, just like you were talking about, Vince. You know, through those really hard moments, you needed to laugh. Even when you didn't feel like laughing, you needed to laugh. You needed someone to break you out of that hardness of your heart, the hardness of life that was going on, something that would shake you to the point where you would just laugh anyway.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think one of the best things we can do sometimes with people who are going through hard times is, you know, obviously just being there and sitting there listening and things of that nature, but sometimes being just the comic relief, so to speak, and not being afraid to be that, or even make yourself the butt of the joke. Now, I'm not talking about self-deprecating and negative things. I mean, just on purpose between you and that friend who's going through a hard time, just in order to help them break out of it for a moment. You know, there's sometimes when people are going through hard stuff and you sit down with them and you can see it in their eyes. They're just blocked off to the world. They're just trapped in what they're looking at and their circumstances. But then you come out of left field, you know, they're sitting there talking, you come out of left field with something silly or stupid and they just lose it. And you're like, it's the greatest feeling in the world, because sometimes you can hear them laughing. And when you do, it's like something is breaking off of them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I'm not talking about, you know, I know we got to be careful because some of these people that were raised in the 80s and 90s that went to those revival places that had the laughter movements or whatever. I know some people might be thinking that right now, but that's not, it is, but it isn't what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you're going to some church and somebody's preaching and you're just going to start laughing and everybody's going to start giggling. I mean, it's a genuine moment where you know God is there with you guys and you are being silly or whatever it is, and they just start cracking up laughing. And it might be something that you're like, oh my gosh, that's not even funny to joke about. But yet they're losing it. It's okay in that moment, because I mean, you got to understand, not you guys, but we all have to understand, though, is that, like you talked about The Chosen, really one thing that was really cool that I thought about was that from watching that is it does paint the life, the regular life that he lived when kids came up to him and he played around with the kids and he, you know what I mean? He inspired them, but yet and taught them, but he still engaged in the joy that kids have.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I think if it was good enough for Jesus to do, it's good enough for us to do.
You know, just last night, funny enough that we're talking about this, that had no idea we're going to be talking about humor at all. But last night alone, yeah, no pun intended. Last night, I mean, I was just in this goofy mood. And I don't remember goofing off and cracking up to the point where I'm almost laughing hysterically at almost nothing. You know, even while I'm trying to brush my teeth, I just start laughing like crazy. And I literally pause in the middle of it and think to myself, man, am I really so serious that I almost never laugh anymore? You know, and I'm thinking, I need this. I need this more.
Yeah.
And I really think that many times, most of us, no matter what our age is, child, 100 years old, 120 years old, whatever.
You almost said 200.
That's hilarious. Did say almost 200. You're right. I almost did. But
you only look 200. You don't feel it.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
It's all that gray in your beard. It's very handsome.
Appreciate that compliment there, sir. And in case any of y'all don't know, Toby and I go way back. This, you know.
I knew him before he had gray in his beard.
Oh, like, yeah.
30 years ago.
He helped put some of those grays in there.
Probably.
Just kidding. But hey, but the reality is there's moments that we realize we need laughter. We need humor. Just like you said, Vince, it may not even be a hard moment like losing 9 people in your life. It could be you just had a really rough go at it at work. Maybe you have a toxic manager. Maybe you've got a situation going on between you and your spouse. Maybe one of your kids is acting up. Maybe your car is on the fritz for the last 20th time in 3 months. You know, you may need a moment just to laugh, just to detox mm-hmm. in a way that's emotionally releasing that pent up frustration.
Yeah. I think, you know, everybody always pinpoints emotional release coming from crying. And I think it's a valid statement. I really do. And women just tend to have the market cornered a whole lot better than men do. They understand that a little better than we do. But we're raised more with, you know, men don't cry, guys don't cry, all that stuff.
Especially our generation.
Yeah, right. Our generation. I don't know about the younger guys, but ours is more of a suck it up, buttercup, and move on.
Very stoic.
Right. And so I think humor also gives an emotional release as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I think when you're able to laugh, especially that deep, you know, those laughs that just kind of come from your toes, the kind of laughing that you laugh so hard that you're not even making sounds anymore.
Yeah.
You go from laughing to you're like, ha, ha, ha. yeah, you're barely making sounds. And that kind of laughing is just, it's ridiculously hilarious. And you're like, I don't even know why I'm laughing so hard. I mean, that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. About a month ago, I was sitting down. I don't know what it was. It wasn't nothing extremely funny, but it got me. I was kind of tickled by it, and I cracked up for a good 2-3 minutes. And it was some stupid commercial or something. I don't know what it was. And my wife's looking at me like, are you okay? And I was laughing so hard, my son came in our bedroom, and he's like, what is going on? And I'm losing it, and they're laughing at me, not at what was on the show, but they're laughing at me. And so them laughing made me laugh harder.
Oh, and I laugh for those are the good laughs normally.
5 or 10 minutes of laughing. It was so bad, like my stomach was hurting, my muscles were sore, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that was the greatest.
A new aerobic exercise by Vincent, the new laughter 4.0. Get yours today.
For $95.95.
You know, Vince, I was thinking about your story that where you know, a comedian or something, you know, cracked you up for a moment, but then your wife and child fed off of your reaction, and that caused mm-hmm. you all to laugh, you know, for several minutes. And I think about the times when I laugh the best is when in the presence of other people.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've talked quite a bit about this, but I think one of the biggest tragedies, and we can blame it on COVID or not, but it's really more tied to technology, is we separate ourselves from other people more. And Jesus, I think, intended for us to be God in the flesh while we were here on the mm-hmm. earth. And that means being with other people physically in person. This technology we're using tonight's amazing, and it's a okay substitute, but the times I have laughed the most, and the times, you know, quite frankly, I've made the most kingdom impact, have been in the presence with other people physically mm-hmm. in person.
Oh, absolutely.
And I found that's very important to me, you know, just from a physical, mental health standpoint. I grow spiritually, brothers, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, to bring it back, I guess, to laughter and fun. We've recently are concluding a series at church in Ecclesiastes, and everybody thinks that's a really depressing book. And it can be if you read it through a certain lens, but think about the preacher, which we all, you know, suspect and know it was Solomon. You know, the point of Ecclesiastes is he had all these things, but he missed God. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean don't have all these things. So he recommends that there's nothing better for us to do than to live, eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way you'll experience some happiness along with the hard work that God gives you under the sun. But then he says it's all vanities if you miss God. So that's the best part of life is people. And I think that's what's underlining what we're talking about today is laughter is the best medicine.
Oh, absolutely.
The best laughter is with other people.
I think that's when you say that, though, it's been in the last year, maybe 6 months, that Ecclesiastes has really come alive to me as far as its true meaning in life. And I've shared it in my classroom. I was telling them, I said, listen, everything means nothing unless Christ is centered on it, unless he is the preeminent one in our life. And I was like, and it finally clicked one day, and I was like, wow, I get it. Every good thing that you have is because of him. Every good thing. Your relationships, your spouse, your children, the fact that you have a home to live in, the fact that you can breathe, you know what I mean? Any good thing in life that exists, it's because he's there. It's because of that. And everything else means nothing unless he occupies that preeminent place. So it's really interesting you brought that up, because that's kind of become my new thing, like nothing means anything without him. And I found myself in worship. This is so weird. I don't know why it's a thing recently. I found myself in worship at church sometimes. And all of a sudden I just kind of start cracking up a little bit. And I'm like, God, this is really weird. Everybody else is all like, hallelujah. And I'm over here just chuckling. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, why is this so funny? Mm-hmm. And he's like, look, Vince, how I work with you and move through you is how I move through you. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. And maybe he's like, and he poses these questions to me sometimes. And I'm like, you know, Lord, you could just tell me straight up. He's like, yeah, but I need you to be able to think too. And I was like, yeah, that's true. I'm really good at not thinking if you don't let me.
Thanks, God, for pointing me out and just putting a highlighter on me, Father. Thank you.
Yeah, right? Like, thanks a lot, Jesus. Oh, yeah.
I love that he wants us to have good things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that he encourages that actively, but he wants us to have that in relationship with him. And that's just, it's a both and. And I love that mm-hmm. revelation. And it sounds like God's been revealing that to you as well.
Absolutely. Did you say
both and?
I did.
And both? So,
okay, I'll tell y'all a quick story. I know we're going to be closing out pretty soon here, but here's a quick story for you. Both and clicked it off for me. So when our youngest son, Nathaniel, was little, he'd look in the mirror. You know, all kids look in the mirror, and mm-hmm. it's you could tell that they're like figuring it out. Okay, I'm looking in the mirror, and that's me. And so my wife goes up to him. He might have been, I don't know, maybe a year and a half. I think he was 2 years old. And she's like, who's that in the mirror? Expecting him to say, no, Nathaniel. And he goes, Bothaniel. And she's like, what? That's Bothaniel. And she's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, I'm Nathaniel. He's Nathaniel. It's Bothaniel, though. And so every time he saw him in the mirror, we got a kick out of it. So we're like, who's that in the mirror? He's like, Bothaniel.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's a fun story. Thank you for wrapping us up with that.
Yeah, I thought you'd want to hear something
every time I walk by the mirror now.
Something silly and something funny. I mean, I love watching what does the kids say, the darndest thing shows. Those are
kids are awesome. Those are so hard. You know, we'll sit here and lie to, you know, anyone, everyone and ourselves. Kids mm-hmm. just say it the way it is, especially the younger they are, the more truthful they are. Yeah. Well, most of the time. You know. Anyway, guys, we thank you for joining us again for another show of Uncomfortable. We are right here at the end of it. We thank you, Toby, for joining us for this show. We really enjoyed you being on the show with us today. If you would like to get in touch with either Vince or myself for prayer requests or just to give us a line to tell us about a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can reach us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also go to the Moose Ministries website, mooseministries.org, go to the contact page and contact us there. Also, if you'd like to support us, you can go to the give page. Guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
See y'all later.
Bye.